Good morning to you all. And, you know, as you probably have realized, I don't look like a whole bunch of you in here. And, you know, my wife and I, my brother, while we were driving up, you know, we were just reminiscing about, you know, when we first walked in here in June of 2000. You know, as Pastor Dan has stated, come from another denomination. And, you know, when I left there, visited, you know, a couple other churches. But when I walked in here on that Wednesday night, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is home. You know, and, you know, when I shared that with my wife during the service, she kind of nudged me and she's like, you do realize that, you know, we're the only people of color that is here. And, you know, my response to her was, you know, if they are children of God, you know, the only color that they will see is red, you know, because that's the only thing that matters and that's the one thing that binds us all together. Amen? Now, a couple other stories. I'm going to share this one with you. And being and holding distinction as being the first family of color, black family here that came and stayed and got plugged in and served. This one particular Saturday, we were a couple of the other pastors and some brothers from the church. We went to do some work at one of the single sisters who was in the congregation. And, you know, we're working away, repairing some things around her home. And, you know, the one brother's like, how did you come to an all-white congregation? And you can imagine, they got silent. And, you know, I looked up at him and I'm like, you mean to tell me that you all are not a Southern Black Baptist congregation? And he nearly fell off of the ladder, and we had a good time. Now, the reason why I say that is I do have, it's an eye disease called Stargardt's, and, you know, I was recently diagnosed with it probably 3 years ago. And one of the symptoms is that I am colorblind. So you all are the best-looking group of gray people I've ever seen in all of God's gray earth. You know, but before I get started, just want to share a little bit about what the Lord has called me to do, especially Dan said that I came here, and, you know, when I first got here, all I wanted to do was heal, you know, and I just wanted to take in the Word of God, but, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. Not only did I get here and did not get a chance to relax, but I got plugged in and, you know, got in deep, and, you know, we're all called to serve. Amen. And as I went on with Pastor Mike, you know, I wanted to be the best lieutenant that I could possibly be for him and undergird him and do anything that he asked me to do. And I think that I've done so. But like Pastor Dan stated, over the last year, the Lord has put on my heart to go into Longview Church and to Fort Pierce. Now, a couple of things about the city of Fort Pierce. It's a city, the population is 38,748. And as you all read the news or social media or whatever you use to get the daily news, we know that along the Treasure Coast, you hear a lot of things up in Fort Pierce. You hear about, you know, the high poverty level, the high unemployment, which is everywhere, but even more so in Fort Pierce, but also high homelessness. Did you all know that there is not a homeless shelter in St. Lucie County? Not one. So when I get individuals who are homeless, you know, either, you know, I have to send them to Vero or I have to send them down to Palm Beach County. So there's a lot of need there. And, you know, with those type of conditions and social and economic conditions, you know, it also leads to high crime. Now, you're going to hear me refer back to during the message about the spring fling. Now, let me explain to you what the spring fling was. You know, the Lord placed upon Pastor Mike's heart for me to go up into Fort Pierce, and whatever the Lord led us to do, that's what we were going to support as Calvary Chapel, Fort St. Lucie. So what we did, a group of us, we got together and, you know, we collaborated with other social service agencies. Our goal as the church was to just go in and to love on that community. You know, there's a real need, and, you know, it's a real guarded community because, you know, people and churches come and go. And so there's that guardedness that they have. So we just wanted to go in and we just wanted to love on them. We just wanted to display and to demonstrate the love of Christ. We want to be God in the flesh to them. And so what we did with these other agencies, we partnered with, and, you know, we had bounce houses. We wanted to feed them. We wanted to clothe them. And we just had no agenda. And what you're going to see in this video in just a second is you're going to see some pictures that, you know, kind of show what we did. And, you know, the Lord is gracious and he's faithful because, you know, as the Lord has put upon my heart to go to Fort Pierce, he's gone ahead and he's blessed us with favor. And we just, the God stories between when the Lord spoke to me and I began to take those steps of faith has just been unbelievable. We were recognized in St. Lucie County as the first faith-based, get this, the first faith-based organization to ever do anything like this in any type of magnitude. The Lord has blessed me with favor as it relates to the principals up there. You know, we often talk about that the Lord isn't in the schools. But you know what? As the people of God, if you have the time, you can go into the schools and volunteer. And, you know, that's what I started to do, just go into the schools and volunteer. And through that, the Lord has formed these relationships. What we're going to see is not only the principals of Garden City Early Learning Academy is where we're going to be having our services on Sunday, but the principal from Fort Pierce Westwood, and I didn't know until we actually saw this video that even the superintendent of St. Lucie County Schools was at this event. So this is the type of favor that the Lord has been blessing us with. You know, praise the Lord for that. And, you know, like I say, we was recognized as the first faith-based organization in St. Lucie County that ever do something like that. So it's very significant in that. But, you know, like I said, our agenda was just to demonstrate the love of Christ. Now, here's some interesting things about the city of Fort Pierce. 7 out of 10 children in Fort Pierce live below the poverty level. 2 out of 3 children in Fort Pierce are living in a single-parent home or they live with a surrogate parent. In Garden City, which is where we hosted that event, get this, 99% of the school's population is on free lunch. Fort Pierce Westwood High School, 30% of the student population for the school year 2010-2011 was evicted from their place of residence at some time during the school year. And in talking with the principal from that school, she says that, you know, with the high crime and the high poverty, and, you know, it's an older school, that the children actually have no hope. But they haven't met our Jesus yet. And, you know, that's the sole purpose of me taking a step of faith and going and launching this church. Listen to the stories. When you all say that this has been the coldest winter that we've had in over 30 years, we had a 5-year-old to show up to school without any shoes. We had an 11-year-old after a school play, 11-year-old girl. We noticed that she was stuffing her book bag with the refreshments from the event. And when we asked what was she doing, she said that she had to take those home to feed her younger siblings. And at the spring fling, there was an 10-year-old boy. He came up to my wife and I at the clothing closet, and he wanted some things for himself. And of course, you know, we obliged him and told him, you know, son, take as much as you want. And, you know, he kind of paused for a minute. Again, he looked at my wife, and he's like, you know, can I get some clothes for my younger siblings? And he had 7 younger siblings that, you know, he wanted clothes for instead of himself. So those are the type of stories. And but listen to, this is the crime that we're faced with. On Sunday, and you guys probably remember this story, on Sunday, November 14th, the population of Fort Pierce decreased by 3. We had Anthony Elliott, 18, Olivia Maddock, 20, Ashley Smith, 22, and Kara Baggett, 21, were shot shortly after 10 p.m., and all they were doing was sitting on their porch. And Baggett was 4 months pregnant. And when I talked to an officer a couple of weeks ago, he said that they still haven't obtained the shooters in that situation. So these are the type of things that we are dealing with. Now, one of the things about Fort Pierce as well is that there is literally a church on every corner. And the question that I get is, Pastor Teddy, why would you go and start a church in a city where there's a church littered on every corner? And my response is this. Number one, I know that I'm called. And the Lord has given me a vision specifically to meet the needs of the people of Fort Pierce. The first thing that you saw from the video is that we're going to love one another. We're going to love them. We're going to serve them. And by serving them, we're able to reach them. And then when we reach them, we're going to teach them the Word of God. I will teach the Word of God in a systematic manner along with the philosophy of Calvary Chapel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. if it not for the teaching of the Word of God, I would not be going. You know, because the only thing that's going to make a difference in the lives of those people is the Word of God. That is going to produce change in their lives. Amen? Okay. Now, you guys are mighty quiet. Now, I come from a traditional black Southern Baptist background. And in that format, we talk with one another. So when I say something that rings in your spirit or something that is true for this Sunday, Pastor Dan, can I get your permission? It's okay for you to say amen. All right? Okay, let's try it again. God is good. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, back to why I would go and start a church in Fort Pierce is simply this. It is easier to give birth than it is to resurrect the dead. You know, I can go in with a vision that is fresh and new from the Lord. You know what? My motive is to accomplish His will, nothing else. It's to accomplish the will of God, is to love on His people and to teach His people. And you know what? I think that is a characteristic where the Lord will honor, and, you know, He will continue to provide avenues for us to reach the lost and to teach God His word, teach the word to His people. Amen? Now, let's look at Mark chapter 6. And, you know, as we talk about the vision, my vision is simple, to love God's people. The mission is simple as well, to love, serve, reach, and teach. And this is a principle that is going to be in the scriptures this morning. I got it from our Savior. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Now, one of the things that I love about Calvary Chapel is the systematic teaching of God's Word. So although I am doing a topical message, and I'm coming from Mark chapter 6, verse 30, I just want to kind of give you some background of what was happening in the early part of the chapter. Mark chapter 1, verse 6, we see where Jesus went back to his hometown, and you know what? He wasn't received well. You know, he healed a couple of sick people and did some things, but, you know, because of their unbelief, you know, he moved on. And also we see in verses 7 through 13, we see Jesus sends out his disciples. You know, he commissioned them to go out and two by two, you know, to heal the sick and to cast out demons and also to teach repentance and everything. And so Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29, we see Jesus gains an enemy. And what was going on in that particular situation was that we know that Herod beheaded John the Baptist. He had him executed. And so what Jesus came back, you know, teaching the word of God, you know, healing the sick, casting out demons, and, of course, Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist reborn. But we know that to be altogether not true. Amen? So, now let's look at the feeding of the 5,000, starting in verse 30. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. You know, as believers, it is so important that we set a day aside, we set a Sabbath, to where we can relax and refresh. You know, I used to think that when I went to my Sabbath day of rest, that it was a time to where I veg mentally and, you know, I veg out on the couch, eating marshmallows, watching I Love Lucy, you know, doing those type of things. But you know what? As we look at the scriptures, then we see how Jesus thought that it was important enough to take the disciples aside, not only disciples, and some instances, even he went aside to rest. It is important that we as Christians get that day of rest. But that day of rest should also include fellowship with our Savior. Whether it's through a time of prayer or reflection or looking at the scriptures, we are called to rest. Jesus himself has instituted this for us. You know what? It's been said by Vance Havner. If you don't come apart and rest, you will soon come apart. So it's so important to get our rest. Let's pick up in verse 33. It says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Now, it says that he was moved with compassion. Now, let's define that word, compassion. Compassion means that it comes from the bowels or it comes from the intestines. You know, the bowels were regarded as the seat of the more violent passions, such as anger and love. But by the Hebrews, it was the seat of the tender affections, especially kindness and benevolence. Compassion is to emotionally express a cry or a feeling of sympathy or empathy with someone who is hurting. Here's the key. With the emotion goes the intent to help. With compassion goes the intent to help. And we see that in Scripture. We see it here in Mark chapter 6. And everywhere you see the Lord's name in the Gospels as it relates with the word compassion, it is always followed by him doing something. What does this look like? You know, in John the 11th chapter, when Lazarus died, you know, Jesus came to Mary and Martha, and he saw their grief. You know, his friend had died as well. And so what happened, the Scripture says that he groaned. And then it says that Jesus wept. Now, remember, with that compassion always comes the intent to do something. So what did Jesus do after he had that compassion for the sisters? Of course, we know that he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, we also have an opportunity to raise individuals from the dead. Now, there you go. You're probably saying, that's why Pastor Dan doesn't allow people in his pulpit. But, you know, we may not ever raise the physically dead, but each one of us, when we're empowered by the Spirit of God and we're led by the Spirit of God to share the Scriptures, to share our testimonies, we all have the same capability, once again, through the power of the Spirit, to raise the spiritually dead. And that's the one that is most important, to raise the spiritually dead. Now, let's look at verse 35. It says, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five and two fish. Now, we know from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, which we're going to touch base on a little bit later, we see that it was a lad who had this meal. You know, the Lord performed a miracle with the kid's Happy Meal. Isn't that something? He performed a miracle with the kid's Happy Meal. You know, we have to understand that when we take our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure, and we place them in the hands of God, he's able to do miracles. As we can see from our lesson, we see that when Jesus posed the questions to the disciples, you got to realize that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But what he was testing them and their faith to see and realize, did they actually know whom they were walking with? Now, he had been with them for some time at this point. But you know what? My encouragement to you all is, don't worry about what your present-day situations look like. You know, trust in the Lord regarding whatever you may be going through, if at anything at all. And it's so important to realize that we have to realize whose hand we need to put things as it relates to our lives. For example, a basketball in my hand is worth $50. But a basketball in the hand of LeBron James is worth $45 million. Tennis racket in my or your hand is worth $80. But a tennis racket in the hands of Roger Federer is worth $40 million. A scalpel in my hand will get me 5 to 10 years in jail. But a scalpel in the hands of Surgeon Sanjay Gupta can save lives. We must know whose hand to put things in. Amen? Let's look at verse 39. When when he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And you know, as I began to meditate and prepare for this message, you know what, the Lord is just so faithful. He is indeed the good shepherd. Amen? You know, because when we go back to the 23rd Psalms and we hear David talks about the shepherd, and this is what David had to say. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He make me to lie down, here it is, in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. So what happens is when I and you read the Old Testament, and we go through the Psalms, and we go through the Scriptures, and we see that those things are being fulfilled in the life of Christ as it relates to us. You know, in this particular passage of Scripture, he says, he makes them to sit down in the green grass. Jesus already knew what they needed before they even needed it. And the same applies to us today. But you know, what the Scripture says is that we have not because we ask not. You know, but the key here is when you ask, it has to be pertaining to the will of God. And the only way you're going to know what the will of God is that you're going to have to get into his word. Because, you know, these days and times, he speaks more through his word. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 40. So they sat in ranks in hundreds and in fifties, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. Isn't it amazing when you put the things into God's hand, what he does in our lives? And not only that, but you see that the Lord didn't even waste the leftovers. Everything that God does has a purpose. Everything that God does has a purpose. Now, when we did the spring fling, we did it. Matter of fact, it was 2 weeks before Easter. And, you know, when we were trying to put together the resources, you know, the Lord blessed us where, you know, there were social service agencies who came alongside of us. And there were other members of the community. Get this, some who were not saved. But it's amazing that those who are not saved, most of them, still know that there is a God and they know what they should be doing. But under their pretense, they donated this food. Now, we didn't think we were going to have enough food if all of the community showed up. And so what we did is we had a ticket, and we gave each person, as they entered the park, we gave them a ticket. And this ticket allowed them to get hamburger, hot dogs, and all of the fixes and trimming and drinks and everything that went along with it. Now, the number of tickets that we gave out was about 950. That's minus 100 that we had for volunteers. That leaves us 850. And now my very conservative count is that we fed and we clothed and we loved on 750 people. Right? Here's the thing, and this is how it relates to the story as well. When we blessed the food, they had the hamburgers and the hot dogs. They had them in the freezer of the school. Every time that one of the volunteers went to go and get more hamburgers and hot dogs, there seemed to be just as many as when we first started. Catch this. At the end of the day, not only did we have enough food to feed the people, we had enough food and refreshments left over that the school could have an event for the children and the parents. Is that not a God story? And this is what, amen, praise the Lord for that. And this is how our Lord works. Can you imagine, you know, being back there then? And you know what? We have the opportunity to do the same things now, according with the Matthew 25 ministry. But can you imagine the joy that the disciples had when they were able to minister to the people and they saw how the Lord provided? And not only did he provide, the Scripture says, and that they were filled. Now, when you look that up in that phrase in the original language, the Greek, it means that they were fully satisfied. This was not a light snack. Remember, if we were to eat today a kid's meal, I know with me, that's not going to do anything but upset me. You know, but with the kids' meal, the Lord fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children in that number, and had food left over. Can you imagine the joy, not only that the disciples had, but we can have, if we partner with God. If we partner with God and we love one another first, that's the body. Because, you know, Scripture says that Jesus said, the world will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If we love one another and we love God first, and, you know, we focused on those who are less fortunate and those who are outside of the body as well as inside, because I'm sure there are some individuals in the body who have needs as well, the Lord will honor that. You know what? He has no choice. He says that I'm a God that I cannot lie, nor shall my word return unto me void. He says my word shall not be changed. And you know what? If we have the faith to put our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure in his hand, the Lord will continue to do miraculous things. Amen? Now, how many of you know that this wasn't the first time that our Lord had performed a miracle like this? Now, and I'm not talking about the Exodus, you know, when he provided the manna and he provided the quail for the children of Israel as they were exiting Egypt. But over in 2 Kings, and you don't have to turn there, you can write this down, 2 Kings, verse 4, chapter 4, I'm sorry, starting at verse 42, where Elijah fed 100 men. This is what the scripture has to say. Then a man came from Baal Shalisar and brought the man of God bread, here's the key, of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and nearly ripened grain in his knapsack, and said, give it to the people that they may eat. And not only did they eat, but there was plenty left over, because he took his resources, placed them in the hands of God, which was at this time was Elisha, and the Lord once again provided a miracle. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He states that I'm the bread of life. He also says that I'm the living water. And you know what? When we take that at face value, you know, especially as Christians, you know, one of the things that the Lord has really been dealing with me with is whom I belong. And not only you, if you are a Christian here today, realize that the Lord has placed a treasure. The scripture says that he has placed a treasure in earthen vessels. We are those earthen vessels. And within us is the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to do great and mighty things for the Lord. Now, once again, it was according to his will, because Jesus said, I do what I see the Father doing, and I say what I hear the Father saying. And, you know, we oftentimes tend to negate the acts of Jesus Christ because he's simply Jesus. But Jesus was 100% God and he was 100% man. And while he was on his earthly ministry, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit in which he was able to perform all these miracles. Now, is it about us performing miracles? Absolutely not. You know, we have the opportunity to do the same things. Some of us think maybe it's on a broader scale. For some of you, God bless you if he does bless you in that fashion. But, you know, if we start within our homes, if we start within our communities, we have the opportunity to change and to shake up the world to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, how does this all tie in together, especially with what the Lord has called me and us to do up in Fort Pierce? Remember, he's called me to love, to serve, thereby we're able to reach, and then to teach the people the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that's going to be able to transform lives. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to see how this all plays out. And I'm going to start reading at verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 24. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say hold up. starting at verse 24 of John chapter 6. It says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, not the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus met their physical needs. They were hungry. He fed them. Remember, it wasn't the miracles that brought them back. It was because they had their physical needs met. Now, here's how it ties in. We're going to love them. We're going to serve them. Therefore, we're able to reach them. And then when we reach them by meeting those physical needs, we come back and we teach them the Word of God. Because if you continue to read on this in this passage, Jesus began to teach them about the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus Christ. He teaches them about the bread of life, and he begins to talk about living water. And, you know, that's a simple mission. It can only be accomplished by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to go and do in Fort Pierce. You know, there are a lot of social service agencies who do great things. But you know what? It's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. The only thing that's going to produce change, the only thing that's going to save their lives, and you know what? I am looking to meet their physical and emotional needs, but I'm more concerned about their soul. It's their spiritual needs that the Lord is also interested in, because this life is just a vapor. And it's eternity that we have to keep our focus on. We have to look at people and our communities and our homes from an eternal perspective. And if that perspective doesn't include Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, love of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then as Paul said, what we do is futile. So if it were not for the teaching of the Word of God, I would not be stepping out in faith, going to the city of Fort Pierce to love on the community, to serve the community, to reach the community, and then to teach the community. But I pose to you this morning, there may be someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, some of us may be here and we may be physically hungry, physically thirsty, you know, but Jesus talked about the bread of life. He talks about living water. And if you partake of the bread of life and you partake of the living water, you shall not be hungry nor thirsty ever again. And today is your opportunity, if you have not, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. The Bible teaches that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is really just that simple. If you repent of your sins and you turn away from them and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he came to earth as a man, he died on the cross for our sins, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. That opportunity awaits you here today. Now, my encouragement to you, and you know what? I've been where you sit. And you know, I always thought that I had time. Well, I can make this decision tomorrow. Or it doesn't affect me now. You know, one of my responsibility as the care pastor is that I have to perform the funerals. And one of the biggest and the greatest things that you can do is not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't, that is a selfish decision. Especially when you hear under the sound of my voice, and I know that the Spirit of God is knocking upon your heart. Because what happens in that situation is this. When I see a family member, and of course, you know, they're distraught, and you know, they're hurting. You know what? But the comfort that I can bring and I have brought to those family members is that, you know what? He or she was a Christian. And this is what I know what the Bible says about being a Christian when we die. We go immediately to the presence of God, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And then the Bible is very descriptive into what heaven is like and what being in the presence of God is. And what happens is that brings about comfort. And it makes it easier on your loved ones who remain. so I exhort you that if you are here today, please do not leave until you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord God. Lord, we know it was you who first loved us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, we thank you for the Comforter that lives in us as believers, who shall lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon this body, upon Pastor Dan and the leadership here, Lord God. Father, that this church, Lord God, Father, that you just illuminate them, Lord God. Father, you have declared that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. So, Lord, as they go forth in a spirit of love, we know that you are faithful, and we know that you shall continue to do great things. And, Lord, not only that, but, Lord, for the residents of Fort Pierce, may you begin to stir upon their hearts. Father, may you begin to prepare their hearts, Lord. May they begin to thirst and hunger for righteousness. And we know that they shall be filled. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to go forth. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.
Hey, before we walk out the door, two things. Teddy, you were talking about how you oversee the funerals there at Port St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. And you started to tell a story. You told it in the first service. And we're not leaving here today till we hear the story. So it's real quick, okay. but it's a very cool thing that the Lord did.
Okay, well, what happened? I was called to do, unfortunately, a funeral of a young man who was murdered. And that Friday night was the wake. And my wife and I, we were sitting and wasn't dressed any particular way, didn't have on a collar. And this woman, out of the blue, she comes up to me and she said, "Sir, the Lord has put on my heart that you are a pastor." And we're blown away because nobody knew that. And she said, "Would you go and talk to my son?" And I'm like, "Well, ma'am, I absolutely will." And she pointed him out to me, and I'm like, "Well, ma'am, I tell you what, when I do speak with him, I will call back to you, give me your number to verify that I did speak to him." Because, you know, it's so important as the body of Christ, when we tell somebody we're going to pray for them, that we actually do pray for them. And when we tell someone that we're going to do something, that we actually do it. So Saturday after the funeral, we're sitting down with the family, what we call the repast, and my wife sees the young man sitting alone. And so I go over and I talk with him. And good conversation. I had an opportunity to share the gospel. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. And I think when I finish the story, you'll clap even more. It was 3 to 4 days later. We got a telephone call early in the morning. And you know, those are never too good of a call. And the young man was in a single car accident. He was thrown from the vehicle and he was killed. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord provided an opportunity for him to receive him as Lord and Savior. Because what happens is, in situations like this, we always think that we got tomorrow. You know, whether you are 90 years old or you're 9 years old, we all are one breath away from death. And we never know where that's going to come. But the Lord is faithful. And you know what? Not only that, but when we got the call, my wife stopped immediately, called his mother. And I didn't mention this in the last service, Pastor Dan. Called his mother. And in her grief, we shared that he did receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And she went ballistic. Not ballistic as far as, you know, she was just so thankful to God that she was faithful, number one. We responded in obedience, but the Lord is the one who was faithful, that he provided an opportunity knowing that time frame is worship.
Yeah. Amen. Well, as we close in prayer, we are sending Pastor Teddy to Fort Pierce from Port St. Lucie, along with Calvary Chapel Port St. Lucie, up to Fort Pierce to begin this work. And so in that sending, we're also supporting. This is the work that we as a congregation want to be part of. And so we're going to jump on board in that way. We're also, we have wanted you to meet Pastor Teddy, just so that you know that when we come to you and say, "Hey, we're going to be grabbing a group of people and we're going to be heading up to Fort Pierce and participating in certain activities as Teddy continues to bring the gospel to that community, that you'll at least know who it is that we're jumping on board with." And so we wanted him to come and share today. Then also, if you would like, this is not part of anything that Teddy's asked, but I always like to do this. I just like it. As you know, that when you start a church, that there's always additional cost. It takes a lot to launch out. I don't know if you know that when we started this church, we launched out with no support. We were prayed over and patted on the back and said, go do it. And so we did. It's all we knew to do. And thankfully, some people showed up, and that's been a good thing. But looking back, I wish that there had been a group of people who would have come alongside and say, hey, you're going to need some stuff in order to make this happen. And so we want to be that church that does that. And so today, if you want, we're going to be participating as a congregation, but if you'd like to also additionally participate, then if you want to today, then in addition to your normal giving, if you write a check, just write church plant, and we'll know that goes to Teddy. There's going to be a place on our website that you can participate in that. But we're looking very forward to seeing all that God is going to be doing as we send Teddy out to accomplish this great thing. So let's pray a prayer of empowerment over Teddy as he goes forward for Teddy and Alex, and then we'll be done. Father, thank you so much for this man. Thank you for the calling on his life. And Lord, we've seen your calling on him through the years. We've seen it continue to grow and grow and flourish. And he's faithful to you. He's faithful to preach your word. He's faithful in every area of his life. And now, Lord, we know that as we've looked on and we've seen, we've watched that your calling again just continue to flourish in his life. Lord, we know that you are the one who is calling Teddy to take this step to follow you to Fort Pierce. And Lord, we know that right now there are thousands of people who don't even know that they're about to have their lives impacted. They don't even know right now that you're about to do a great work in their life. And even right now, without them even knowing it, behind the scenes, you're already working in their life to bring them to just the right place at just the right time, where they will not only encounter you, but they will be part of this great church that you're going to begin there in Fort Pierce. Father, we pray for Teddy that you give him the wisdom that he needs. We pray, God, that he would operate in a supernatural discernment. We pray, God, that you would give him the faith to stand firm in the times where it doesn't appear to be working out. Father, we pray that you would give him conquering faith as he takes those steps forward. Lord, we pray that he would continue, as he always has, to represent you so incredibly powerfully, and as he always has, as he takes this step. We pray for Alex and the kids as they take this step together, just that your protection would be around this family. Lord, we pray for the souls that are going to be reached. And Lord, we look forward to all that you're going to accomplish in the life and through the life of this man and this family in Fort Pierce. And Father, we entrust them to you. Help us to know how we can best be there to make this work everything that it needs to be. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to all that's going to take place. We commit it to you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.